I'm on a train from Rotterdam heading to the village of Sliedrecht, a 40-minute trip up the Rhine River. I'm going to visit the spot where my grandmother hid from the Nazis, along with 9 other Dutch Jews, back in the darkest days of the German occupation of the Netherlands. On March 3rd, 1943, Dutch police arrested them. 5 weeks later, my grandmother Marta would be marched out of a cattle car and into a gas chamber at Sobibor death camp in Nazi-occupied Poland. This coming October 7th, a commemorative stone will be laid down with my grandmother's name on it at the empty lot where her hiding place stood. I can't be there that day. Today, I can. The commemoration of my grandmother's life and death is being organized by a group of Sliedrecht residents. None of them are Jewish. Gerrit Venice is one of them.
Hey, Gerrit, how are you?
How are you?
I'm well.
Well, you took the right train.
I took the right train. It was not difficult. It was easy.
Yeah, okay.
Gerrit and I head to a local synagogue to meet other members of his group and talk about their commemoration project. On the way, he tells me how their project began in response to anti-Semitic graffiti around town.
Heil Hitler and Sieg Heil and that kind of thing. And at that moment I thought, oh...
This was current, recent anti-Semitic stuff.
Yeah, it made me show that it still needed to be remembered.
Gerrit and his group wanted to respond to the hateful graffiti, but how? A project by German artist Günter Demnig came to mind. Demnig has been laying down Stolpersteinen across Europe, stumbling stones, small brass plates engraved with the names of Hitler's victims in front of the places where these people lived. Gerrit and his group decided to take up Demnig's project. They identified 40 Jews either arrested here in Sliedrecht or who fled and got arrested elsewhere. One of these was my grandmother. Gerrit and I arrive at the synagogue. It's the only synagogue here in Sliedrecht, the only one in the world built on a dike.
That makes us unique.
So it's the only synagogue in the world built on a dike?
Yes, it is. Huh. As long as there is no evidence against it, we will say that. So please don't look it up.
Ronald Kitz helps run a local foundation that looks after the 175-year-old synagogue. Sliedrecht's Jewish community goes back to the 18th century. No more than a half dozen families ever lived here, a total of 33 people in 1930. Of these, Hitler murdered all but 5. Kitz shows me the names of the victims on a display board hanging on the wall.
These are the Jews who lived in Sliedrecht when they were taken away by the German. These are the people who were born in Sliedrecht but taken away from another place. And these are the people who have been hided in Sliedrecht. And one of them was your grandmother.
There, in the middle of the list, is my grandmother, Marta Goldstein Kattenberg. Above and below, Marta's sister-in-law and best friend, Esther Kattenberg Fless, and Esther's sister, Antoinette. Turning away from the names of Jews arrested in Sliedrecht during the war, Ronald shows me the sacred belongings of Sliedrecht Jews from years past.
That used to belong to Jewish people who lived a few generations ago in Sliedrecht. So that makes this very special for us. A Jewish prayer book.
We step over a mikveh, a Jewish ritual bath, now covered in glass, into the synagogue's conference room. There, around a table, I hear about the house where my grandmother hid here in Sliedrecht between 1942 and 1943, in a big house owned by a woman named Leentje Nederlof.
This house is the house where your grandmother lived.
Gerrit describes what life was like at Frau Nederlof's hideout. Sacks and boxes of potatoes to eat and coal for heating. Arrest was always imminent. Turning in a Jew was worth 7.5 guilders. Sliedrecht's mayor had provided names, a common practice, Ronald tells me.
They also did in our village here. Well, where are the Jews? And they came with them and pointed them out.
And these were Dutch police?
Yes.
Were being run by
the Germans. But they were... There was a lot of indifference. It seems that they don't care.
Fearing their time had come, some tried to flee. One of these was Jacques van Gelderen in the summer of 1942.
He tried to move across the river, but it went wrong. The boat she used sank on the river, and they were then picked up by the police, and they were brought away to Westerbork, and from Westerbork they went to Auschwitz.
Sometime in late 1942, my grandmother Marta moved from her Rotterdam hideout to Frau Nederlof's house in Sliedrecht. She should have stayed put.
At a certain moment, someone in the neighborhood mentioned it to the Germans or to the police from there's something wrong in that house. At the moment, they were, betrayed. Yeah. And then they were taken away.
Gerrit and his friends take me to the spot where Frau Nederlof's house stood. On the way, we stop to see some of the commemorative stones that have already been laid down, bearing the names of murdered Jews. Everyone peers down at the brass plaques. Anja van der Star translates the engravings.
This is for the family Kleinkramer, who lived in this house. Father, mother, and their four kids. It says, here lived, and then the name. Born in 1869. Arrested on the 4th of September 1942, murdered in Seibersdorf 31st of March 43.
You show these to school children and to people?
Twice a year we invited the kids from the schools to clean them up with each other.
How do they react to this? How do the children respond?
They are very interested. I was with some children at other stones, and they took it as a job of honor to do that. Yeah, and listen to the stories, so they know that in this house there were living children just like they are, and they were taken away by the Germans and they never come back.
Next stop, Stationsweg, the moment I've been waiting for. Talking about my grandmother, even thinking about her, makes me cry. Instead, a moment of levity. A photographer from the local news station approaches us from across the street, camera in hand. A brief story about my visit to Sliedrecht and a snapshot will appear this evening at the website of Sliedrecht 24.
24 hours news every day.
This is a news story here in Sliedrecht.
Yeah.
Yeah, the story
about you.
Yeah, about me.
About your grandmother, yeah, who lived here in 1942. The house has gone, of course.
Gone, indeed. All that's left of my grandmother's final home, a disheveled forest of grasses and flowers in front of a parking lot and a strip mall.
This place was the front door of the house where your grandmother lived. We know, because that's because of the police report, there were 10 people hiding, and 8 of them, among your grandmother with them, were picked up by the police, and 2 managed to escape, and they flew that way, the direction of the dike.
And they escaped along the dike and were caught.
Yes, I don't think the 8 managed to get to the dike. They were shot at. So I think 8 just stopped and put their hands up and said, okay, it's done. And well, maybe they hoped that they would get away in that way. But it didn't happen.
On October 5th or 6th, this cobblestone sidewalk in front of the spot where Stationsweg number 32 stood will undergo minor excavation. A dozen wooden blocks will be inserted. On October 7th, German artist Günter Demnig will replace these with a dozen brass-topped Stolpersteinen, one for Frau Lenche Nederlof, who perished at Buchenwald 3 months before its liberation, three for the Jewish family who lived here at the start of the war and were deported, eight for those who ran for their lives on Wednesday, March 3rd, 1943, towards the Sliedrecht dike, but were caught. Among these, my grandmother Marta, my aunt Esther, and Esther's sister Antoinette. A place to come visit, to remember the grandmother I never knew. Bless her soul in heaven. Tears will flow. David Kattenberg, DW, Sliedrecht.